It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Kevin Milwaukee says that I'm going head-to-head with AEW Revolution tonight. It's not head-to-head. I asked everybody who was live Saturday, what would you rather me have do for you tonight? Sit-down episode or a recap of Revolution? And like 95% was to do a sit-down episode. So that's why I am here. I will watch Revolution. I'm not paying for it, and I'm certainly not watching it live. I got a long day at the office tomorrow, and it ain't happening tonight. But for those who are live that are not checking out Revolution, or maybe you're watching it in the background and enjoying here as well, much love to all of you. For those on a replay as well, welcome. Tonight is the Sit Down, hosted by yours truly. For those who know the deal, just forgive me for about 30 seconds to let the newer viewers and listeners out there know basically what the format is. On Sunday, I show up with an empty blank piece of paper, and you fill in the topics of discussion tonight. Could be wrestling, non-wrestling, whatever is on your mind. If you have to be in the live chat, obviously, to be able to ask questions. Before your question, write in capital letters the word question so I could spot it quicker. If you have a comment that you want me to just share with everyone, just put comment in capital letters. Super chats are not required, but obviously they are appreciated. It helps the channel pay the bills and in some cases grow, do some upgrades, and you'll always get immediate attention. You get immediate attention. So, and I see that a few of you sent some in before we go live. Some of you do that because you want your questions answered first. And I'm not going to lie to you. About 10 minutes before we went live, I saw Big Sal's $10 super chat. And you are the reason why I changed my shirt. I changed my shirt for tonight's show. So Big Sal says, DT, thoughts on the Bellas backstage for AEW Revolution? A lot of people are saying it would be huge if they were on Revolution and Tony Khan should sign them. My thoughts. I will be sincere and I will be an asshole at the same time. Brie Bella is the wife of Bryan Danielson. So obviously, you know, she's there to support her husband. You almost kind of ask yourself why it took so many events for AEW for her to finally show up. It's probably because they're in California. The Bellas, you know, they are from Cali, or that's pretty much their home base. As far as them signing, would it be huge? I mean, what do you mean by huge? Like, would it get a lot of social media attention? Sure, it would. As far as should Tony Khan sign them, let me put it this way. And I'm saying this sort of being a jerk. Do I give a shit if they appear or if they sign? That's why I changed the shirt. I don't care. Listen, you know, Nikki Bella is a glory hound. You know, you see her now at bar rescue, restaurant rescue, you know, anything that could get her on in front of a camera, she does. And, you know, it's the package deal. You know, it almost feels like a low-budget Mercedes Moné and Naomi. Like, wherever Mercedes Moné appears, like, Naomi's there also, and you ask yourself, why? Why? Because they were tag team champions? This isn't the Road Warriors. This isn't Demolition. You know, this isn't the Midnight Express that they've been partners all their life. How long was Mercedes and Naomi a tag team? But yet, because they both quit at the same time, oh, let's book them together. Hey, that's cool. Naomi getting the exposure is a cool thing. The Bellas, it's a package deal as well. I'm kind of surprised that Brie goes everywhere where Nikki goes for the most part. I mean, you know, Barb McGinnis a little different, but honestly, if Tony Khan signs them, just remember how old they are, remember the injuries, and remember the baggage that comes with it. I would love Nikki Bella to go on Renee's oral sessions, if signed to AEW, and with a straight face, have her come out there and say that AEW does a better job with their women than WWE does. Because that motherfucker went on Tamron Hall like a day or two after of Raw 30 to just rip on WWE and the treatment of women. And, you know, you go in reflection the last bunch of years. I don't care how much you hate Vince McMahon. WWE has done more for women's wrestling. And it's not just because they're the biggest game in town. They show respect. You give respect, you get respect. And yes, some people are mistreated, taken advantage of, no question. But, you know, there is a respecting. And honestly, you know, some of the people who, you know, feel slighted in some ways, they don't seem to show as, you know, much respect in return. You know, it goes both ways. It's reciprocal. So, honestly, I think Tony Khan would be making a massive mistake if they were to sign him. And what would they be doing? What would they be doing? Do you really want to see them return to the ring and, you know, just risk injury? I don't know. I think their time is coming gone. I think their time is coming gone. I have no interest in seeing the Bellas, and I would love to see the hardcore AEW response to it. I think it would be pretty wild. So, but thank you. Thank you, Big Sal. Ronnie C with a super chat. Thank you for the 5 spot. You were right. I saw On Patrol Live Saturday, and there were no commercials from MLW, not even one. Told you. Not one. For some of you out there that did not check out my Saturday episode of the Don Tony Show, you know, there's a little shift in my content from now on. I'm going to be a little bit more brazen. I'm going to be more explicit. No, I'm not going to yell and scream and piss in the wind and complain on everything. I'm not going to do that. But I'm going to call things out and not be as politically correct anymore, because you see the bullshit that's going on online. People are more concerned about attention, acknowledgement, and clout than putting the reality out there. And MLW, you know, because PW Insider and Mike Johnson, if you know that history with him and Court Bauer, it goes back 20 years. And to have the audacity to make it seem like, oh, Reels and MLW, you know, they're working things out and they're going to do it. They fucking signed a 10-week deal and the ratings dropped 50%. And MLW realized that what they expected this company to be as far as ratings was nowhere near what it ended up being. And they pulled all their advertising. Do I think we'll probably see a little bit of advertising next week? Sure. Because they still have like 4 or 5 weeks left of TV on the Reels Network. And who knows, maybe they do sign another deal. But to put this cake and ice cream feel out there like, no, everything's fine. We're just working things out. Of course Reels is not going to say anything negative on it. You think Reels would dare tell Variety or PW and say, yeah, their fucking ratings suck. The fuck were we thinking? The fact is, they thought they were going to get a lot of the live On Patrol Live audience, because they did these surveys and they realized that a lot of people who watch On Patrol Live are wrestling fans. And they thought that a lot of wrestling fans that On Patrol Live fans would tune into MLW. And the ratings are worse than Impact. They're almost a New Japan territory. And not only that, MLW is showing footage from October. You know, and I know now it's getting more recent. I'm like, what the fuck did you do during all this time preparing it? The fact is that, you know, you see it. MLW, Reels took a shit on MLW, and people online want to try to put, my God, tomorrow, oh my God. No, actually, we'll wait till Wednesday. You know, I fucking give compliments to Brandon Thurston of WrestleNomics all the time. But I saw something today that it was like somebody I honestly cracked out a laugh for a second. And wait till I show you what they're basing, like some recent statistics of AEW decline. And it's just, I was just flabbergasted at what I saw. It's almost like you see it in real time. Like, oh, they're reeling them in. They're reeling them in. Oh, that's going to be big Wednesday. So, you know, if I don't say it, and I'm not trying to be this lone wolf or anything like that. I'm not trying to be that at all. But if I don't say it, if I don't call this shit out, who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? Joe Schmuck with 10 followers? I mean, who with any type of following out there is going to dare do this? If it was WWE, everybody and their mother would do it. But when it comes to, you know, things like this, nobody wants to voice or say anything. And yes, I do realize that taking this stance is unpopular. You know, telling the truth about a lot of things is unpopular. You know, people know fake news is out there and will still use it as a way to draw people into their content. And then their answer is when it comes out that it isn't true. You know, here's a great point. The CM Punk Hangman Page debacle. We never covered that bullshit because we knew it was bullshit. And now after all these months, Dave Meltzer and a bunch of other people are saying, yeah, that story was bullshit. There was a lot of people in the wrestling world that knew it was bullshit, but still ran with it because it was a great topic of discussion and it got a lot of viewers. And that's what it's all about now. It's about attention, acknowledgement, clout, how many people could like my shit, how many people could tune into my shit. And I'm not going to go there. I think it's ridiculous. It's horrible. It's horrible. But, hey, we tell it like it is over here. I try to make it interesting, but sometimes telling the truth is kind of boring, let's be honest. So, all right, so we got some super shout-outs out of the way. So, again, if you have something that you want me to answer in the chat, and if I do answer your question, you know, wait a few minutes before asking another one. Give everybody a little bit of a chance. You know, spread out the love a little bit. So, I'm not watching a pay-per-view, Daniel. Not watching it live. Someone is going to send me, it's probably going to be like 10 gigabytes. They're going to send me a downloadable version of the Revolution pay-per-view late tonight or tomorrow. And I'll watch it at work in the next couple of days. I'm just not, I don't think it was worth the $60 or $50, whatever it was. You know, it's weird because MJF is one of the top heels in wrestling. I'm a big fan of MJF. But I find myself lately more like looking forward to what he's going to say on the mic than him actually wrestling. Like, I know in my heart that there ain't no way that Bryan Danielson is dethroning him as champion. So, you know, my honest take is, did I really want to see an Iron Man match? Or did I want to see, I think Bryan Danielson and MJF should have been the Texas Death Match. To see Bryan Danielson beat the balls off of MJF and have him bleeding and bloody. You can't do that for an hour. You kill someone, suspension of disbelief. You kill someone during a match. You smash something over the head and they're unconscious. You know, like if it was me and I smash someone unconscious, I pin them. And then 30 seconds later, they're still knocked out. Pin them again. Pin them again. Pin them again. Like a bad video game. It would be 42 to nothing pinning. But did I really want to see them go 60 minutes of wrestling? Like, I don't know. I wanted to see, like, let me put it this way. How many Iron Man matches do you remember of Roddy Piper? How many Iron Man matches do you remember of, Terry Funk? Yeah, maybe. But Terry Funk, when he went hardcore heel. Like, you think of some of your biggest heels. You just want to see get the shit knocked out of him. How many true Iron Man matches do you remember? And don't give me Shawn Michaels or Bret Hart or anything like that because they were known more for their technical wrestling. I'm talking about a scumbag character like Roddy Piper because that's what it. Brian Pillman, the loose cannon. Obviously, after his Hummer accident, you know, maybe you get a 10-minute Iron Man match from him. But seriously, did I really want to see MJF wrestle for 60 minutes? I know he can. MJF can wrestle great. Do you want to see him wrestle? It's like Hogan. People now are still learning about Hogan in Japan, Hulk Hogan in Japan. And they see him wrestling in Japan, and they're like, holy shit, he can wrestle. Yeah. We didn't want to see him wrestle like that in the United States. That's why we never saw that. See, people are bringing up Brock Lesnar and Kurt Angle. These are not hardcore heels that you wanted to see get the shit knocked out of them. People wanted to troll Kurt Angle. You suck. You suck. Brock Lesnar was a badass. I'm talking about a dick, an asshole, somebody. Like, you just want to see get the shit knocked out of him. That's what MJF should be right now. I honestly, truly believe that a lot of people do not want to see MJF wrestle for an hour. They want to see him battered, bloodied, beaten. And even if it's a DQ, which isn't going to happen in AEW, but even if it was a DQ finish after 15 minutes, I think fans would be happy. You know what? MJF squeaked out a win, but Brian Dasa beat the shit out of him. That should have been the Texas Death Match, my opinion. Guardian of Chaos. Is it cool if we report the results for Revolution? Yeah, do what you want. Yeah, absolutely. I don't mind when people will post stuff. As long as, you know, they show support for the shows. Like, if somebody has their own deal that they want to plug, I'm not a big, you know. But if you come up here just to spam, like you have no interest in the show, you don't show any support, no respect whatsoever, then that's different. But yeah, no, anyone here that's a regular, if you got something that you ever want to like show, just don't spam. That's all I ask. So, all right. A lot of people seem to agree with me as far as, you know, Ric Flair might be the only exception, but even back in the day, people didn't want to see Ric Flair get the balls beat out of him. You know, think about what I'm saying. There are some wrestlers you just want to see get their ass kicked. They ain't that many, but MJF is definitely one of them. Definitely one of them. Cerebral is asking, did I have a favorite wrestling toy growing up? Wow, I was never into wrestling figures. I had a Roddy Piper figure that everybody knows. You know, I've told that story 1,000 times. Wrestling magazines. Honestly, I had hundreds of wrestling magazines going back to the 70s. And to this day, I'm pissed off, you know, in a little bit, because back in the 90s, tell you a little true story. And if any of you talk to Rob Feinstein, ask him, he'll tell you. True story. Back in the middle 90s, and I started like getting our video stuff, maybe late 90s. I had a box of about 500 wrestling magazines that were just sitting in my house, and I was getting, you know, my finances together, and I was going to throw them on eBay, but I was like, you know what, you know, our video takes care of me. They hook me up with some videos, discounts once in a while. Feinstein has always been good to me. I boxed it up, and I emailed Feinstein in the late 90s, and I said, hey, I got about 500 magazines. You know, maybe you want them, you want to give them away, sell them, keep them, whatever you want. He's like, yeah, man, that'd be awesome. I sent the 500 magazines. I never got a thank you. You know, like, I mean, I've talked to him 1,000 times afterwards, but never like, hey, man, got the box. Thank you so much. Didn't even get a freebie after that, like nothing. I was like, wow. You know, I feel kind of like, you know, but then again, yeah, I was the one that offered it. Like, he didn't ask me for them, but wrestling magazines is what I always was into. I was never into the wrestling figures. Like, I had the WWF ring with the ropes that were like rubber bands, you know? And I remember, like, my mom and my dad, they had two Dobermans when we were young. And, yeah, who would have known? I mean, look, I'm a little kid, but we used to have a Doberman, Rocky and Pee-wee. And Pee-wee was a brown Doberman, Rocky was a black Doberman. And once in a while, I would say, Pee-wee, come here. And then I would, like, take like his leg and then take the rope and then go bing. And I probably should have been bitten on the neck for that. Didn't hurt the dog, but the dog was like, the fuck you doing? Don't treat me like I'm WCW, you know? But that's probably the only other thing I had. And it was funny because I did have the ring. I didn't have many wrestling figures. I might have owned maybe 4 or 5 wrestling figures in my lifetime. Now, I obviously got the bobbleheads, you know, but back then, magazines. William M., what did I think of the Cody and Roman Reigns promo on SmackDown? Professional. I talked about it in great detail on Saturday's show, and it needed to be done that way because Cody, suit and tie, Roman Reigns, sign of respect, you know, that mutual respect, professionalism. Dusty Rhodes absolutely is a big part of this story. You know, think about it. I mean, Cody, you know, this is something I never envisioned would happen for him. He rebranded, repackaged, improved himself, and has earned the right soon to be heavyweight champion. And that is something that would make Dusty smile big. And Dusty Rhodes really believing that Roman Reigns had it. That is true. See, think about what I said earlier. Sometimes the truth is not as sexy. But that storyline, a lot of it, it's true. It's true. Dusty Rhodes truly saw it. Now, look, I think Dusty always saw in his own kids, you know, that they can be world champion if they put their heart into it. But remember Dusty's career. Dusty Rhodes was not one of the greatest NWA heavyweight champions of all time. He's one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. He's not one of the greatest NWA champions. And when people hear that on the surface, I love reeling them in with that. I'm not going to lie. I love baiting people with that. Because then they're like, did you hear what Don Tony said? He called Dusty Rhodes one of the, you know, it wasn't one of the greatest NWA. And then they do the research and then they realize, oh, wait a minute. He had three reigns and one reign was like less, what was it, a couple of days, a week, a couple of weeks. Like, he never had a long reign because Dusty Rhodes was money chasing for the title, not being the actual champion. You look at Dusty Rhodes' total combined reigns, it's very, very small, tiny. Is he one of the greatest wrestlers? Yeah. But Dusty wasn't about the championships. So with Cody and Roman, it was professional. It needed to set that tone. So when Roman Reigns does beat the balls off of Cody before Mania and picks up Cody's unconscious head, and puts his head on the titles. You're not taking this from me. This is everything. That's where shit's going to get really, really hard and deep. Right now, there's a lot of reality in there, and some people probably didn't like it. Some people are probably sick of the Dusty remarks. That's a huge part of the story, whether you like it or not. So I liked it. I liked it a lot. Definitely set the right tone. All right. Kevin says back in the day, he had the LJ and Andre body slam, King Kong Bundy, cracked the ring in half. Yeah. How many of you out there did, like, try to replace the rope with a rubber band? I you know what? No joke. I think my mom tied string around one of the ropes. And it was like every time, like, I would like, oh, no. I know what she did. She tied a couple of shoelaces together. My mom tied a couple of shoelace sneakers, the white laces, and it looked cool until you like tried to like push someone against the ropes and the rope wouldn't move. It didn't have the, you know, that flexibility. My mom tied sneaker shoelaces together. That is true. That is God honest truth. Do I see Jimmy and Jay back together? Yeah. They have to defend the titles at Mania. I don't want this reluctance. I do not want this Romeo and Juliet dumb shit where Sammy and Kevin Owens are teaming up to take on the Usos for the tag titles and Jay doesn't want to hit Sammy and Sammy doesn't want to hit Jay. There's got to be clear, concise, you know, turn on both sides. Sammy's heart needs to be broken a little bit more. I hate to remind people of that. It'll happen this week. I think by Friday it'll happen. It's got to happen. There's not too many weeks left. You know, Monday on Raw, they're having Jimmy Uso versus Sami Zayn. So that is going to be the prelude of what goes down next. So I think the breaking of Sami's heart has to happen on SmackDown. I think it has to happen on SmackDown. I don't think it should happen on Raw. Because if it happens on Raw, it should happen at the very end of the night. And Hour 3 has been a disaster for WWE. They lose 500,000-600,000 viewers at times, no matter who is main eventing. So personally, I think you do it on SmackDown. I definitely think you do it on SmackDown. And SmackDown's viewership has been a little bit better. Garth has been playing Dragon Ball FighterZ on PS4, watching Revolution on the PC, and watching the show at the same time. Cool. Very cool. no reason why you can't watch Revolution and, you know, hang out here as well. You know, I mean, I think the pay-per-view is going to be good. I mean, you look at the talent that's on that card. How could they stink up the place? For real. In fact, I think we're going to probably get a surprise match or not. I expect Jade Cargill to come out there. How could you have Revolution without me? Unless she's injured. And even if she's injured, I still think she comes out there. Maybe she issues an open challenge. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something if she issued an open challenge and Mercedes Moné came out and beat her and became AEW Women's TBS champion? I don't see it happening, you know. But, yeah, I am going to check out the China documentary. You know, totally heartbreaking what happened to her. I think we will learn a few things that haven't been said before, because a lot of times WWE swept it under the rug. You know, I will never forget, and I still have them saved, some of the emails I got from some of her family members. You know, when she first passed away and I was going after that guy, Anthony, that I compared it to Anna Nicole Smith. I compared her death, China's death, to Anna Nicole Smith. And I thought this guy, Anthony, was the biggest piece of shit. And I had to be careful because I was threatened to be sued. And honestly, I know, you know, the internet wrestling community would have my back. But if I fucking put up a GoFundMe, hey, help me pay for a lawyer. You think people are going to do that? They're not. So I have to also be a little bit realistic, like, hey, I don't want to have to spend money on a lawyer. So, you know, the family thanked me and told me a few things that, you know, I'm not going to repeat it here. We talked about it back then, things that were never made public. And it really gave you an idea how much of a dirtbag this guy Anthony was. Do I expect him to bring up this guy Anthony on A&E? I doubt it. I doubt it. That guy should be very lucky he's not in jail. That's all I'm going to say. That motherfucker, I will tell you one thing. And some of this you probably, in some way this has been made known, but not on a level. Do you know that after Joni Lara passed away, there were some very, very personal things that belonged to Joni that was supposed to go to the family. And he took it and sold it, gave it away, whatever he did to it. And there were things, let me put it this way, I'll give you a little hint. There were things that you would have only after death. And even that, he fucking took it. And I can't believe this guy never went to jail for it. I almost feel like it was such a mess that just people were like, look, let's just fucking move on. It's horrible, horrible. Ryan Armstrong, do I have any idea who will be inducted in 2023 Hall of Fame? I'm mad because I wanted to bring this up yesterday and I forgot. We were having some fun talking about the Stacey Keibler stuff, but and I got off track on it. So be prepared. I am going to bring this up again tomorrow. Now watch, they announce some Hall of Fame tomorrow and fucks up what I want to say. I've been thinking about this a lot. And some people have had some ideas that are similar. I personally think from now on, WWE should treat their Hall of Fame like basketball, football, baseball, hockey. All the inductees announced one time. Baseball Hall of Fame. They don't milk it for 5 weeks straight. The first inductee for the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame is... No. They give you everybody who was voted in. Now, obviously, the voting with WWE is different than the sports leagues. You don't have writers and stuff like that. But I think WWE from now on should treat it like sport. Announce all the inductees, one press conference. Triple H, one press conference. That, hey, on Friday at 3 o'clock, we're going to announce the inductees for the WWE Hall of Fame. That's what I think they should do. I don't know how you feel about that, but that's what I would love to see WWE do from now on. Announce all the inductees at the same time, just like other sports do. Announce press conference online, 3 p.m. Friday. 3 p.m. Friday. Or, and look, yeah, I know, you know, the Bleacher, whatever the fucking BT Sport, whoever they work with, they'll probably get the exclusive. But, hey, you know, press conference, Friday, 3 o'clock, we will announce the inductees for the WWE Hall of Fame. Do it one time. Don't milk it for a couple of weeks. Don't announce one today and one Friday and two next week and one next Friday. Just do it all at one time. Do it all at one time. Jerm Westbrook, do I think Roman will lose or win a Mania? He thinks he should win because they don't have the time to build Cody's story enough. Cody's story has been built since the 70s. When you factor in the Dusty stuff, it's fine. It's fine. It's built enough. The thing is that people got spoiled with the Bloodline storyline, and people now think that the Cody build should go 6 months, maybe, you know, 4 months. You know, some people want it to go a full year. People got a little bit spoiled with the Bloodline storyline and how things were built and how much time they took to develop things. You can't do that now. You know, especially the Royal Rumble determines the number one contender. Like, what are you going to do, change the Royal Rumble for the future? Like, someone wins the Rumble, they get the title shot at Mania. It's time for Roman Reigns to take a physical and mental break. It's time to start being able to give other people opportunity. You know, I still remember, like, 2.5 years ago, remember that thumbnail I put with Bobby Lashley on and a few others? I said, be careful what you wish for. When everybody's like, yeah, we should have unified champion, only one champion. Oh, we don't need two heavyweight champions. One champion, one champion. And I said, be careful what you wish for. Because there's going to be times where you feel like somebody should have been a tag team champion or somebody should have been a heavyweight champion. And they couldn't because the Usos had both sets of belts and Roman had both sets of belts. It's time to split them back up. It's especially with TV negotiations, you want a champion on both brands. So no, they definitely have plenty of time to build that, in my opinion. I mean, you know, just because I give you an opinion doesn't mean that I'm right. I'm just expressing to you what I think. So, Havili with the 5 spot. Thank you, Havili. Greatest dream match of Bret Hart that never happened. Kurt Angle, Daniel Bryan, Eddie Guerrero, Seth Rollins, Chris Jericho, or AJ Styles? You want to know something? I always, always said Kurt Angle. I always thought it would be really, really cool to see Kurt Angle and Bret Hart chain wrestle, reversals, you know, doing everything that they do. But you know what, man? When we talked earlier about Iron Man match, give me an Iron Man match between Bret Hart and Bryan Danielson. I can honestly say now, if you said to me, DT, Bret Hart versus Kurt Angle, Bret Hart versus Bryan Danielson, got to go with Bret Hart versus Bryan Danielson. All right, Jungle Boy just won. I'm not trying to do late breaking, but I need to know something. Was it a buried alive match? Xavier, everyone out there that's watching it, was it a buried alive match? Because everybody was clickbaiting buried alive. I said, you know, just because it's his final burial doesn't mean it's a buried alive match. See, it wasn't. Told you. What was it? Just like fall, you know, like no DQ, like not no DQ, like you don't answer the 10 count. What was it? What was it? Just a street fight? What was it? Last man standing? I saw so many people clickbaiting the last couple of days. Buried alive, buried alive, buried alive. He threw him in a casket. Now is the question. What's going on with Christian's future in AEW? Does he just like open the, I'm not trying to be a dick, but does he just open the casket door and he returns back on Dynamite and has a new foe? Somebody laughs at him for losing to Jack Perry? Like, what's Christian's future? Oh my God. If you start seeing people tonight, Christian's future in AEW, unknown, you know, he might be going back to WWE, you know, Edge is retiring this year. Oh man. That would be pretty sick because of our discussions the last couple of weeks. But, yeah, it was a casket match. I think that's what we even said the other day. I didn't see was it buried alive. It wasn't going to be cinematic. But getting back to Havili's, Bryan Danielson has overtaken Kurt Angle as far as dream matches. You know, like, look, it's a shame. It's a shame the tribute match that happened on Nitro when Owen Hart tragically died. Bret Hart wrestled that match. Like, I'm not saying, like, tragedy needs to happen in order for a match like that to happen, but I think Bryan Danielson versus Bret Hart, there would be something special about that, you know, wrestling and each one trying to, you know, like, just outdo the other. You know, and yeah, it would lead to a little bit of anger and some brawling, but that is overtaken for me from Kurt Angle. So, what happened with Gruss? What happened with Gruss? Oh, Gruss, how is it a spoiler alert? It's happening live in real time. It's not like recorded for Wednesday. You know, I'm sorry, you know, but, you know, everybody, look, things happen in real time. If the Bellas show up, I'm sure people get, look, if something big happens and we don't expect it, we got to talk about it here. So I never advertise this as a non-spoiler. So, you know, my apologies to everyone out there, but a warning going forward with the rest of the matches, this is not a non-spoiler that, you know, we can't talk about Revolution. Because the majority of people out there are going to be tuning into the show after Revolution is over. And by then, everybody on Twitter and Facebook and everyone else is going to be commenting about it. Why would it be a spoiler? It's happening live. Like, if it was being recorded and wasn't going to air until next week, that's different. Okay. Roderick is asking, who would I like to see be Edge's final opponent whenever he does retire? Christian. Or he teams up with Christian. But you know what? After seeing Cody versus Dustin, and yes, we're not getting a bloodbath like that in WWE, but after seeing the two brothers and after the match is over, that love, like, I want to see whoever is on the opposite side of the ring be someone that truly has a real personal close connection with Edge. And you know what? I think Edge versus Christian would be awesome. Now, if we learn in the very near future that Christian does have at least another year in AEW, then I will revisit that question. But right now, for me, I only want to see Christian as his opponent. I look at that roster up and down. You could give me foes that he had in the past. You could give me, you know, Finn Balor. You could give me Seth Rollins. You could give me Rey Mysterio. You could give me anybody you want to give. To me, it won't feel the same if it's not Christian. So, but we'll see. We will see. All right. Bash is asking me, do I think WWE should bring in Rikishi to put the Usos back together? I know why you're asking that. And it's a decent question. There's reports today that Rikishi wants to return to WWE and be part of the Bloodline storyline. The problem I have with it is that WrestleMania is less than a month away. I think it's a little late right now. And especially 2 weeks ago when Jimmy Uso was going to defend the WWE Unified Tag Team Championships on SmackDown. And he was advertised as, you know, Jimmy, and there was a pause. Look! And there's Jey Uso in the stands with the fans, and they put the spotlight up. Look, and he comes into the ring and he has the match. What was it, against Ricochet and Braun Strowman? That's when you should have brought in Rikishi, like a week before or 2 weeks before. Now? No. If you want to do it after WrestleMania, do it after WrestleMania. But between now and WrestleMania, do not introduce anybody new. You know, the Matt Riddle dynamic might be needed to negate Solo Sikoa. That's the only exception to it, because that's the plan. You know, it's just as we get closer, you know, WWE more and more is thinking like maybe we should wait until after Mania. That might happen till after Mania. We may see Matt Riddle versus Solo Sikoa at Backlash instead. So, you know, right now, I don't think you should bring in Rikishi. As much, listen, Rikishi's probably going to go into the WWE Hall of Fame. If he goes into the WWE Hall of Fame, the Usos obviously have to be united. And you cannot have, like, you can't do what the Bellas did, where they're on TV and Nikki's like, I hope you die. You should have died in a womb. Don't say that, Nikki. Don't say that. No, stop. And then 3 days later, they're in a restaurant in California taking pictures, eating dinner. Fuck you to both Bellas at that time for showing disrespect for wrestling. I know what it is. It's sports entertainment. But at least fucking act like you give a shit. Look, we're in the middle of this. I said the same thing. Look, Miro is one of my favorite wrestlers in AEW. I think he's the smartest man in the wrestling, not named Brock Lesnar. The Redeemer! And I even called him and Lana out. They had this big storyline on the TV at that time where Lana was going against Rusev. And then they show up on TMZ. Look, we had engaged. I was just as angry with that as well. And that's one of my favorite wrestlers. Miro, what were you thinking at that time? I think they were like, you know what? I think they were like, fuck WWE. We're not going to like hold back our love and our announcement to the world because of a storyline. It's probably why they did it. But still, it's wrong. You're in the middle of a big storyline on TV. Act like it. All right, Havili with a 20 spot. Much appreciated, my friend. He asked this question before, but not the right way. Besides The Rock, Yokozuna, and Roman Reigns, which member of the Samoan dynasty should have been a world champion? Jimmy Snuka, Umaga, Tonga Kid, Peter Maivia, Rikishi, Afa, or Sika? Honestly, and I hope I don't upset anyone, my favorite wrestler of all time is Terry Funk. It's always been. When I used to do the wrestling hotlines, some of you know this already, I used to be called the Funker. I was Anthony the Funker. If anybody remembers Dominic Valente and the other hotlines out there, when they would address me when I was a caller, I started my wrestling hotline in 1997. Before 1997, I was known as Anthony the Funker. Anthony the Funker. Hey, oh, shout out to Anthony the Funker. He thinks that ECW should have a pay-per-view. That was in 1996. You know, so, and we got into 97. It was, but I wasn't smart, but I was known as Anthony the Funker. I was a Funker because Terry Funk's my favorite wrestler. Before Terry Funk became my favorite wrestler was Jimmy Snuka. I fucking loved Jimmy Snuka. I got to see him up close and personal. I always told the story. I went to the Ridgewood Grove Arena in 1983, and he was in that building. And I'll never forget, he was on the turnbuckles, and because the ceiling was low, he was like pushing up like a ceiling tile. I don't remember what he pushed up, a chandelier, something. And it was just amazing to see him up close and personal. Why am I saying this? I don't even think Jimmy Snuka should have been heavyweight champion at that time. When he fought Backlund in 82, he was the biggest threat to Backlund's championship. And even though I still didn't feel like Jimmy Snuka should have been heavyweight champion. So to answer what you asked, Jimmy Snuka, Umaga, Tonga Kid, Peter Maivia, Rikishi, Afa, Sika, I say none of them. None of them. Peter Maivia, I wouldn't even say him because he was around during the time of superstar Billy Graham and Bruno Sammartino, and there was no way that they were going to have Bruno dropped the title to Peter Maivia, and they weren't going to have superstar Billy Graham drop it to Peter Maivia, so I say nobody. Umaga, if he wouldn't have passed, and he would have been around for a few more years, who knows? But Umaga, the Samoan bulldozer, never felt like he would be heavyweight champion and represent the company. I'm just being honest. Honestly, look, we were doing podcasts back then. Any of you out there truly remember anybody out there saying, you know, Umaga should be heavyweight champion? Nobody did. It didn't feel like it. It wasn't the right time. It wasn't the right push. The way his character was, I say nobody. Kevin with a comment, Kevin Milwaukee, when he saw the JD painted under the Rhea Ripley's eyes this week, he thought it'd be funny if someone photoshopped it saying JD from New York. That would have been great. That should have, they could have done that. That would have been funny. They could have put just the New York, the old NY like symbol, like when he used to do the I Love New York commercials. That's how old I am. They could have just put the NY next to it. I think that would have been funny. But, you know, JD is for Judgment Day, so. But yeah, that would have been funny. Somebody should have done that. You should have done that. Kareem is asking, why don't I review movies? Because the majority of people here, I don't think in unison, like, want to see a specific movie. I mean, if there's a movie that everybody and their mother is talking about, like Creed or something like that, yeah, maybe. But it's just like the cooking stuff. Like, I thought about doing a cooking thing. I bought the GoPro. I was ready. I was watching videos like how you should position like cameras with, because like people I thought would get a kick out of like, hey, this is how I eat my spaghetti with garlic and oil. And I legitimately have a razor blade and I trim the garlic very, very thin. And you take it in the frying pan and you keep stir frying it like this. And the trick is to put a little butter in there as well. And you put a little black pepper and olive oil and you just keep doing it until it's lightly, lightly brown. And then you take it and you put it in another dish to stop the cooking. Some people even take like a little bit of an ice, but you know, like an ice bath and just put the frying pan on top of the ice bath and you see all the steam come up. I thought people would get a kick out of it. And then I realized it was probably like 15 people. Like, people want me to talk about wrestling. They want me to talk about spaghetti with garlic. That's why, you know, I don't do it. So, but there's no reason why we can't on a Sunday talk about a movie. You know, there's no reason. Like, some people want me to talk about crime drama. That fucking guy, Richie Cunningham, that just went to jail for life, the lawyer that killed his wife and his son, Murdoch. Is that his name? Alex Murdoch, whatever. I didn't follow the case. I swear to God, for the last couple of weeks, every time I visited my parents, they would have like the news on. Like, what do you think of the case? I'm like, I haven't watched a minute of it. All I know is he looks like Richie Cunningham. And I always said Richie Cunningham because if I would have said Ron Howard, then I could have been threatened lawsuit. Richie Cunningham is a fictitious person. So, yeah. Yeah, I just, you know, there's just not enough demand for it. We were going to do a baseball podcast. And I realized if I do a baseball podcast, I can't just cover the Yankees and the Mets. Unless, or New York sports. Unless I advertise it as a New York sports show. If I do a baseball podcast, I got to cover 30 teams. Whatever the number of teams are these days. And I realized too much work. Gene. If Vince McMahon went backstage at an AEW show, would Tony Khan give him a big hug and say he didn't mean all the bad stuff? No, I don't think he would have given him a hug. If Vince McMahon, let me put it this way, Vince McMahon would never show up backstage at an AEW event. But, if there's like some type of convention with executives or, you know, something with the TV networks and, you know, WWE was there and AEW was there and Tony Khan and Vince McMahon bumped into each other, maybe at a funeral or something, I think there would be a handshake and I think they would just exchange pleasantries. I don't think Tony Khan would apologize for anything. I don't think Vince McMahon would even accuse or say like, you know, like, why did you say this? Or you're a scumbag, you're a petulant child. I think there would just be a mutual handshake and that's it. I think, honestly, they probably would both wish each other luck. Seriously. I don't think there would be that confrontation. I don't think there would be a pull apart. You know, you son of a bitch. Yeah, I don't see it. But the funny thing is, you would think Tony Khan would probably go on Twitter like right after it and say like, yeah, I was about to bring up something and he walked away and he couldn't handle it. But I think there would be mutual respect. I honestly do. I truly believe there would be mutual respect. I got news for you. I don't want to name any specific people, but, you know, because Chaos uses this phrase a lot on the chat and on the comments here, but it is true. There is a phrase used in wrestling a lot more than you realize. And most of the time that it's said amongst the wrestling world, the people in the wrestling world, it's usually done in secret. Not intentionally, but they usually do it behind the scenes. Appreciate the hustle. You know, they bring up the hustle. Always bring up ties. And I don't mean, no, like they say, like, you know, appreciate your hustle, man. Because I've had a few people in wrestling that'll say, DT, you know, keep doing what you're doing. Appreciate the hustle. You know, and that's a phrase that is used a lot in wrestling. At the end of the day, there are some people in wrestling that, you know, you get this, you know, perception that there's friction and anger, and there is between some people, but in a lot of cases, they see, you know, even, listen, without naming names, even wrestlers who will cut a promo negative, let's say Christian cuts a negative promo on WWE and AEW, takes a shot, or better yet, somebody takes a shot at William Regal in AEW, you know, it's more to further a storyline or the person's persona. It's not a personal insult most of the time. And it's just someone trying to, that's hustling. You know, when Christian was talking about on Wednesday, you know, like, you treat my business like a video game, I treat it like an ATM machine, and I ain't done cashing out yet. That's hustle. That's the hustle. That's a terminology a lot of people use. Yo, bro, love your hustle, man. Keep doing it. Appreciate the hustle. I've even gotten that with all the stuff that I do. So that's, they would show mutual respect. It's a grind. It's a grind. Absolutely. Doing this stuff is a grind. I mean, honestly, you know, it's a labor of love. You know, I'm kind of surprised after all of these years that I haven't fallen out of love with wrestling entirely. I do at times get a little bit frustrated. I mean, the AEW stuff, you know, like, I will cater to everyone who tunes into my stuff. That's why, like yesterday, I left it up to all of you. What did you want me to do tonight? You want to do a sit-down episode, or do you want me to recap Revolution? And, you know, like, some people like, oh, man, you should have recapped Revolution. Well, speak up. Speak up. And honestly, most of you out there wanted a sit-down episode. So I do what I do for my family out there, which is all of you. And that's not kissing ass or, you know, that's just doing what I do for all of you out there. And I just feel, even with the AEW stuff, you bring up the Athena thing, you know, and you saw the response. I'm like, man, I didn't even, like, say it, like, to throw shade or anything, just pointing out. And, like, people got, and look at the Undertaker. Did you see the lashback towards Undertaker? Now, you see all the people, legit people out there. Oh, he was never really a big deal. If it wasn't for other people, Undertaker would be a piece of shit. People call him a Republican, racist, this. You got to see what's going to be, simply because he popped for Kevin Nash's insult on AEW Willie Yuta. You know, it's just like, you know, that's the old school. That is the old school that Hangman Page, I'm not saying that Hangman Page disrespects Undertaker or wouldn't listen to him, but when you hear a lot of the people, the young guys of this generation, that they think that the old people should just shut the fuck up and, you know, this is not the business of back then, you know, like, you don't have to listen to them, but they paved the way in some way, shape, or form. They think they have a right to express an opinion. Just like when these current wrestlers in their 50s and 60s, they probably want to voice an opinion. So you don't have to listen to it. You don't have, but you respect it. You respect the people from yesteryear. And a lot of people don't do that today. So, Sticky Fingers Frank. Name something that I regret saying or doing from my hotline days and from the podcasting days. Something I regret saying or doing. Well, the hotline days is easy. The remark I made towards Jim Ross. You know, one of the stupidest things that I ever said. I felt awful after. I apologized to him, and I've said this joking around. But if he remembers, I'm sure he probably remembers it still to this day. I bought so much barbecue sauce that ended up being, I'm not kidding. I got, maybe I'll do it tomorrow just for laughs, shits and giggles. I have in my office Jim Ross barbecue sauce that's probably expired from 6-7 years ago. I bought so much fucking barbecue sauce and Chipotle ketchup and all this other stuff. One, I like the ketchup, but I bought extra, I think out of guilt more than anything else. For those that don't know what I'm talking about, I mean, I feel awful, but back in the day, do you remember the story of Joey Buttafuoco and Amy Fisher? And he was a guy, a mechanic that lived in my neck of the woods. And he was sleeping, I think, with like a 16-year-old girl at the time. This was, what, back in the 80s, I think? I think it was the 80s. And the girl became obsessed with him, and she showed up at his house and shot his wife, Mary Jo Buttafuoco, in the face. And she survived it, but a part of her face was paralyzed. I think you see where I'm going with this. So back, I would say, around 2003, 2004, I made a remark on my show saying, you know what, I think we, Jim Ross and Mary Jo Buttafuoco, should hook up. And it got back to him, and at that time, he was doing his Ross Report. You remember when he used to do the Ross Report that used to be released like every Monday or every Friday online? And in his Ross Report, he addressed me. And, you know, like, brought up that the Bell's palsy had to do with something with his father, either passing away or got sick. I don't remember what the action, and I felt so awful because I would just run my mouth and say dumb shit. And I contacted him and I apologized. And I said, listen, I didn't even fucking think before I said it. And I am truly, truly sorry. And he accepted my apology. And I just, like, after that, I felt so fucking awful. And, you know, what was worse about it was that I had people that tuned in at the time, you know, and would be like, oh, DT, you were just fucking around. It's lighthearted. Come on, you know. And, like, I still felt awful. And I think I know I bought, like, if I bought barbecue sauce, I would buy a couple extra bottles. And I would plug it on my shows. I think I gave away some barbecue sauce on my shows. Like, I kind of felt like, how do I make it up to him? And I was like, let me just buy loads of barbecue sauce. So every so often, I would buy like a pack of like 8 bottles. And they just sit in my, put it this way, you know, people know I'm not lying because I know I have this in the office. You bought a certain number of bottles, he would give you like a little index card with his signature on it and be like, hey, thank you for the order. And he'd autograph it. So I have a bunch of autographed postcards in my office from Jim Ross for the barbecue sauce. But yeah. All right. As far as regretting in the podcasting days, the only thing I think I regret is cracking jokes at a lot of other journalists out there in podcasts without really knowing who they were or their hustle or how credible they are. Like, back then, I would just rip everyone. I mean, I'm not talking about In Your Head Radio and everything else. Those people deserve to get ripped because they were assholes. But as far as journalists go, you know, back then, like, there were journalists and even podcasters that I never even heard of. And I would just, like, shit on everybody. And then you realize afterwards, you're like, you know what? So-and-so's not bad, and this person's not bad, and, you know, this guy's pretty good guy, and this and that. And, you know, I used to say a lot of shit about a lot of people, podcast the journalist. And I don't know why this fucking dog is barking. Like, she, oh, I know why, because my wife's in the shower. I can hear the shower. You know what happened? She's taking a shower, and one of her Yorkies is here. And we have a gate. And she probably put her in the gate so she can't, like, walk around the house and pee everywhere. And she's in the shower right now. So the dog is fucking barking. But it's starting to really piss me off because I got neighbors that are not going to be happy. Shut up! Holy shit. Didn't work. Yeah, I don't know if you can hear that. I'm getting, like, really annoyed. I almost want to get up for a second. All right, you know what? Hang on one second. I'm literally going to be 30 seconds.
It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
We're back.
Sit Down with Don Tony.
We're back. I went in there. I don't know if you heard me. Did you hear me say, shut up? Sorry about that. Yeah, doggy style. Sorry about that. Props to everybody who, you know, nobody left, which was good. You were probably waiting to hear me, like, curse the dog out. All I said was, shut up. And shut up. All right, Dynell, when do I think AJ Styles comes back? Do I think he wins the world title before he's done with WWE? I think AJ Styles has a chance again. You know, the problem right now is that Roman still has the titles. And, you know, Cody is going to have them. But how long does Cody... Listen, this has to do with your answer, your question, bud. Did you see what people are harping on now? Roman Reigns, when he put the belts on the ground with his promo exchange with Cody on Friday, the WWE Championship was facing Cody. And when Roman put the Universal Championship on the ground, it was facing him. And people out there think that it was a subliminal message that Roman is going to only lose one. Shut up. Even if he ended up with one of those titles, if you fucking show me a screenshot from Friday, like, oh, look, you know, long-term booking. Oh, look, little, that's an Easter egg. Putting a belt the wrong way would be one of the dumbest fucking Easter eggs that I ever heard of. But getting back to your, Cody hasn't even won them yet. And the problem is, if Cody wins, Cody will probably be on both brands. Cody is going to be the guy that's going to be, I'm a fighting champion. I will fight on Raw, and I will fight on SmackDown. And once that happens, then we could start thinking about which belt he loses and to who. AJ Styles could be one of them. If the scenario feels right, I mean, a lot of people want to see Sammy ultimately with a world title. But yeah, I think AJ, before he retires, he can have a run. Why not? Even if it's Universal Champion, even if it's for a short period of time. I think AJ Styles will be back in about a month. I mean, he could show up shortly after WrestleMania. I mean, he did suffer, you know, a bad injury. So, you know, he was expected to miss WrestleMania. So maybe a month, 2 months from now. But AJ definitely has a shot to become champion again. I definitely think so. So, all right. Kevon Lewis with 10 spot. Thank you. Coke Bear Khan finally did something good for once. All hail the House of Black. You know what? I will give props to AEW. One exception. The House of Black need to be champions for 2 to 3 months minimum. Minimum. Because if they just did that to please the internet wrestling community, like, oh, they finally did something right with the House of Black. Like, I don't want to see them against Top Flight and AR Fox next week. I don't want to see them next to the Varsity fucking Club. Like, let's see where this goes from here. If they are still champs 2-3 months from now, and it feels like AEW truly is investing in them and not just pleasing the internet wrestling community, because there is a big difference there, then I will totally be cool with it. But you know what? Good deal. Definitely good deal. Definitely congrats to the House of Black, man. That surprises me. But that also should show you, we're probably not going to see any other title changes tonight. Do the Guns lose it back to the Acclaimed? I'm not so sure about that. I don't think so. We did predictions. Listen, I've said on Wednesday, I'm rooting for the House of Black, but I honestly, after that, you know, like the best of seven, you know, like to lose it just a couple of weeks later, you know, it felt, by the way, where's Pac? Just saying. All right, Ryan, now with Kofi injured, where do I see Xavier Woods with WWE? Xavier Woods will be fine. I mean, you know, Kofi was doing singles matches. You know, like, was anybody concerned about Xavier Woods with Kofi doing singles matches? No. So just pretend that Kofi's still doing some singles matches here and there. Xavier, listen, Xavier Woods, he ain't winning no heavyweight title anytime soon. He ain't winning no Intercontinental Championship anytime soon. So maybe there's a little opportunity for Xavier Woods to maybe go for the U.S. title or, you know, try to, like, build a little momentum as a singles star. You know, I don't want him to come out there and just do comedy stuff, you know. But, hey, hope Kofi recovers quick. I saw on social media he posted a cool video, him sitting on the beach with his kid. He's like, I'll be back. Don't worry. All's good, which was good. So, all right, Chaos is five matches in and Revolution is well worth the watch. Yeah, like I said earlier, I didn't doubt that everybody was going to perform. You know, you got top quality talent on that card. It was just, you know, let me put it this way. I've seen so many, like, five-star matches in my life. I've seen so many matches where I was emotionally, like, drained after experiencing it. I've seen hardcore. I've seen technical wrestling. I've seen everything and everything. And tonight felt like I'm missing a dynamite. Honestly, that's how it's like a very expensive dynamite. Like, I've already seen a lot of these guys go at it. You know, like, there are a few matches I will definitely be interested in watching. But I felt like, all right, if I miss it and I see some highlights, that's all I need. That's all I need. I just, you know, the emotional investment was not there. R-Truth is doing very, very well. He is already in the gym, you know, rehabbing. R-Truth is doing very, very well. So, Dynel is asking my top five favorites in AEW and WWE. Well, you know, I'm just going to throw some names. I mean, you know, I don't have their full rosters in front of me. As far as women go, Rhea Ripley, Charlotte Flair, Bianca Belair. Trying to think who else that's escaping me right now. It's a hard question to get hit with, right, blindsided. Asuka, and I do like Io Sky. I mean, there's a lot of others. You know, there's a lot of others. I usually don't do top five favorites because the problem with WWE, and this is not a negative thing, is so many women are balanced on the scale that not too many women really outshine the others. There's a few exceptions. As far as women in AEW, it's the usuals. The ones who impress me, Jamie Hayter, Serena Deeb, even though she's at the tail end of her career. Who else? Rio used to impress me, but I'm kind of like done with that. Ruby Soho is excellent. Athena has totally turned it around. So there's just five off the top of my head. On the men's side, you know, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins, Cody Rhodes, and, you know, Jey Uso right now. In AEW, Bryan Danielson, Malakai Black. I wish I could say Miro. MJF is a great heel. And, you know, the others, pick your choice. Pick your choice. All right, we're going to start wrapping this up. And especially when we start seeing, you know, the same questions being asked over and over again. So that's when, you know, it's starting the time to start bringing it home. All right, Charlie's asking, with the Murdoch verdict, do I feel guilty similar to the Idaho situation? I haven't paid close attention to the case. But the problem is, when you're a liar, you lie about everything, and then you get revealed that you were at the kennels the night of the murder, and you lied about it up until the time that you're sworn in the court, like, you fucked up. Like, oh no, I lie all the time, but I didn't lie about this. But I will say this, and this is going to sound fucked up. Every time, you ever see those videos online, like something happens in the Super Bowl and there's some asshole that records themselves like breaking their TV? like beating the shit out of the TV, like, you know, like they think they're a tough guy, like afterwards. Like every time I heard this fucking lawyer, Murdoch, call his son Pawpaw or something like that, I wanted to just punch the fucking TV. Like, I love Pawpaw. Oh, yeah, I was at the kennels and I talked to Pawpaw. Like, I don't give a fuck what his nickname was. You call him by his fucking name. The reason why he called him by the nickname is to separate, like, the memories of, oh, little Pawpaw. Pawpaw, whatever it was. Sound like Pawpaw. I'm glad he got convicted. That guy was a horrible, horrible man and a compulsive liar. And we're supposed to believe that everything else was a lie, but not this. Pawpaw. Yeah, I was out at the kennels that night, and I saw Pawpaw. I would never do anything to Pawpaw. I hope somebody in jail right now is going, call me Pawpaw, motherfucker. Call me Pawpaw, motherfucker. Pawpaw. Do you know what, you know, somebody asked earlier tonight, I forgot, somebody in the chat asked earlier tonight, name something odd that, you know, I used to do. I don't remember the exact question. I used to write to celebrities to get autographs. And, you know, like when I had my car accident in 96, my ex wrote to a bunch of people. That's when I got the phone call from New Jack, and I got the beautiful photo from Rob Van Dam when he first got married. And, you know, I got the, you know, all the shit from Terry Funk because, you know, she wasn't a wrestling fan, but she knew that Terry Funk was my favorite wrestler. Next thing I know, I'm getting branding irons. And I showed you that 2-page letter that I still have to this day. But back in the day, I wrote to a lot of people in jail. And I was just curious to see if I were to get a response. And I never did. But it would be interesting if anybody writes to this guy in jail and see if the guy responds. Because when you're in jail, I mean, I don't know. But when you're in jail, like, there's not much to do. I mean, a good friend of mine who was a wrestler was in jail for a while. And, you know, he wrote me like a 9-page letter. I think you could all figure out who I'm talking about. But he wrote me like a, in all reality, he wrote me like a 5-page letter, 6-page letter. I still have it, you know, and just like you read it, it's like, man, you know, you hit rock bottom for some people. But nah, I will not have any sympathy for that guy. That guy, he's going to get his ass kicked in jail. They're going to probably have to put him in solitary or they're going to have to put him in some special prison. Because he wasn't a cop. But he put, the more I think about, oh, no, they have to. That, you know what? I don't mean to sound morbid. Don't be surprised if he gets the Jared from Subway treatment in jail or somebody kills him. Because he was a lawyer. He put a lot of people in jail for life. That motherfucker's going to get his ass handed to him in jail. Call me Pawpaw, bitch. All right. Alyssa. Cody Rhodes win wants WWE championship. Cody Rhodes win. She wants WWE championship relinquished. Universal championship be a tournament and have SmackDown with Goon. Okay. Basically what Alyssa is saying is that I think the end result is you want Gunther as one of the champions. Believe it or not, a lot of people are hyping up Gunther versus Cody as a championship match, possibly at King of the Ring. I don't think Backlash. I don't think Backlash. I think it's way too soon. But I think maybe SummerSlam. Give me Gunther versus Cody SummerSlam. Gunther could still be Intercontinental Champion. Cody could be Heavyweight Champion. And don't have title versus title. Like, I don't want Cody going for the Intercontinental. Like, there's no reason why someone who has a lower title, even though Gunther will put a lot of prestige in it, there's no reason why somebody who is lower on the food chain doesn't go for a... Because back in the day, you would have U.S. champions getting a heavyweight title shot. You would have Intercontinental champions get a heavyweight title shot. Their title is not on the line. So maybe you do King of the Ring. And the winner of King of the Ring faces Cody Rhodes for a championship. Let Gunther win King of the Ring. It writes itself. Gunther, King of the Ring. Would anybody deny that? Gunther wins King of the Ring, earns him a championship match against Cody, and Gunther's title is not on the line. So even if Gunther loses, he's still Intercontinental Champion. Limp Bizkit will not be put in the Hall of Fame. Nope. I think out of, listen, we hear Batista. There's a lot of rumors of names being thrown around. I want to see Cyndi Lauper put in. I mean, I know it's trivial, but believe me when I tell you, the more you think about WrestleMania 1 in 85 and everything back in the day, you know, she definitely should have been put in the Hall of Fame. I would put Andy Kaufman in this year, especially with the Hollywood tie to it. Put Andy Kaufman in. You could even put him in that legacy wing. Put Andy Kaufman in this year. You know, I mean, look, there are so many wrestlers that we could spend an hour who should be put in. Miss Elizabeth should be put in. There's a lot of people that should be put in. Some people think Rikishi will be put in. Some people even say Umaga. I mean, but I truly believe, like, we're in Hollywood. Yeah, put Andy Kaufman in. Put Cyndi Lauper in. Especially, you know, what happened with Jerry Lawler. If Jerry Lawler is strong enough to come to the Hall of Fame, even though it's going to be a SmackDown thing, I think it would be pretty cool to have some comments from Jerry Lawler about Andy Kaufman being put in. I didn't mean Rikishi Hall of Fame. I meant Umaga. I had Rikishi on the brain early about showing up on WWE TV. Yes, I remember when Rikishi was on the stage and they did this. Yes, I meant Umaga. But I think Andy Kaufman definitely needs to go in. And this year would be perfect scenario. And even if it's legacy. And I do believe there's a good chance, especially, you know, with the way creative. Listen, Vince McMahon has a say. He should. Think about how much of the company he owns. He has a say. They just try to not to make it obvious. I mean, that's the facts. Whether people like it or not, the motherfucker owns and has as much power as he has. He can fucking balk at anything. He ain't listening to the end of the wrestling. He can give a shit what people say online. They just, for public perception, they just don't want to make it obvious. Nobody that's in a conference call, no investors, nobody that's in it, you notice that he didn't even say, you know, does Vince McMahon still have decisions here? Like, somebody will bring up creative. And they dodge it. They dodge it. I mean, they can't lie because it's a publicly traded company. But when it comes to overall decisions, Vince still has a say. It's just, you know, the people online don't get to ask the question. You want to be a journalist online? Go buy 10,000 shares of stock. Get on the conference call. Be an investor that actually has financial interest in the company. And then you get to ask the question. Just because you have a newsletter, and I don't mean Meltzer, but just because you have a newsletter doesn't mean that you get to ask the question. Sorry, you think you know the answer, but you don't have any right to ask the question. So, all right. How do you like this one, man? Near with a 15 spot. Just woke up super early because he's got a flight to Berlin to catch. At least he could tune in live. How cool is that to go to Berlin? Me, if I go to Long Island, I'm going to Mohegan Sun. I'm going to Foxwoods. I'm going to see some friends a week after WrestleMania. So I will be on vacation the week after WrestleMania. I'll be gone from Friday until Monday, which sucks because I will not be here the SmackDown after WrestleMania. I will be on the road. But if I go to Connecticut, I feel like that I've had a massive trip. He's going to Berlin. I hope it's pleasure here. Hope it's pleasure. So I'm glad you're tuning in live. I can only imagine what time it is over there, but, and don't super chat it. You don't have to, but just have a safe flight and be well. Keep kicking cancer's ass, my friend. Keep kicking cancer's ass. Charlie's asking about foreign objects. You talking about the shit in the sky? It is what it is. I think some people now to troll are throwing, you know, listen, there is shit being made for different reasons, weather balloons, this and that. And I think some people are launching shit in the sky just to troll. Do I think China definitely had some, possibly, you know, like that one balloon, they definitely had involvement with it. The reason why I think China might be up to no good is because I don't believe China ever called, I don't even know who you call, but you call the United States and say, listen, one of our balloons for satellite, like kind of like drifted the wrong way. So be on the lookout. Like, I mean, maybe they did. I haven't heard anybody report that. But I would think, like, you know, if I accidentally, like, released something and it went into the air, uh-oh, like, you don't say nothing? All right, theme parks with Johnny with a 5 spot. Not sure yet, but could be going to Sunday night WrestleMania. Hey, if you go, have an awesome time. And, you know, definitely be prepared for a long night. Be prepared for, you know, the traffic. I saw people losing their shit today because they had a hard time getting to the parking garage for the AEW pay-per-view. You know, so just plan. I don't know if you've, you know, how many WrestleManias you've been to in the past, but just be prepared for, you know, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And man, if you get to go to night two, especially, and to see Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns, that's fucking awesome, man. That's awesome. That's something you keep for the rest of your life. You know, that's why some things that I have had the privilege of seeing live and in person, you know, like you tell the stories years later, and by then there's 5 million people who claim to have gone. So some people don't believe you, but deep down inside, you know you were there. Listen, I've had people call me out and say, oh, you're a fucking liar. You weren't at the Garden the night that Hogan won. There's fucking video proof of it. That's all good. And I don't blame them, though, because by now, 10 million people claim they were in the Garden that night. You know, it happens. You know, it happens in a lot of events. But, man, inside here and in here, they can never take that away from you. So, but if you go, man, have a good time. That is awesome. That is awesome. And near right now, he said it's 4:25 in the morning. Here, it's 9:30, and I'm kind of spent because I had a long day today. And tomorrow, I got to get up early for the office. That's why, look, I'm very honored and appreciative that you all wanted a sit-down episode tonight instead of a Revolution recap. I know everybody and their mother's going to be doing a Revolution recap. I will give you some overall thoughts on Wednesday. I will watch, you know, most of the matches. Some, if I read, it was the drizzling shits, unless it's just a clusterfuck that I have to see, I'll probably skim through a few. But I will give you my overall thoughts. I mean, I already know my feelings on the House of Black winning. I want to see how it went down, and hopefully there wasn't too much of a asterisk. I don't know if there was, but I just hope there was no asterisk, you know. But and who knows? Some people think we're going to get a surprise tonight. Will it be the Bellas? My Valentine's dinner was very good, very expensive. I don't go out to restaurants or diners like I used to. I've been to the diner once in the last 2 months. Too expensive. I can't believe how much shit is still keep going up, even like cars. I feel bad for any of you out there who are looking to buy a car right now because I do insurance for a living, and I'm looking at bill of sales for some people's cars, and there's some cars that are $10,000 more than what they were 2 years ago, like regular cars. Like I have my 91 LSC that I can't tell you how many times, like I'll be at like a red light, or I'll be in front of my house, or I'll just be at a stop sign, and somebody be beeping horn and be like, how much you want for it? I'm like, nah, I'm not going to sell it. He's like, you know, if you ever decide. Like, I always get that comment. But, like, now I'm thinking to myself, like, you know, maybe I should throw it on eBay and see what kind of money I could get for it, you know? But, you know, I've had the car for decades. It's like, I don't want to get rid of it. So. Ryan was at MSG for Survivor Series 02, first Elimination Chamber match. Yeah, that concept, that time, Bischoff gave it to us. That was innovative, man. I liked it. I still like it. I mean, now there's always got to be like somebody getting thrown into a, you know, the pod, which is okay. And there's always got to be a massive dive off the top. But Montez Ford, his dive was insane. Insane. Like, I can't even get out of bed, like, sometimes the right way. Like, I have to, sometimes I got to get out of bed. The way that Montez Ford turned his body on the cage, that's like, I have to get out of bed sometimes. Like, I'm laying in bed, I'm like half passed out, and then my doorbell rings because it's Amazon. I'm like, oh, fuck. And I try to get out of bed. I look like a fish that got dropped out of water. I look like a turtle that's on its back with the shell, and he's like this. Like, I can't move. So believe me, there's a lot of reasons why I'd like to lose a little bit of this non-keto weight. Roderick is asking, bigger missed Mania match. Say that fast 10 times. Rock versus Triple H or Austin versus McMahon? Well, considering that we had both already, neither. When Austin versus McMahon happened on Raw, even though it wasn't what we all thought it would end up being, just to see Vince like this, I mean, it was just, I don't know if you were a fan at that time, and I'm not trying to talk down on anyone out there. Believe me, I tell you, for you younger folk out there, it was surreal to see how he came out like this, and it was just my, I mean, we knew that he was jacked. I mean, a lot of you probably never saw, like, the pictures of him with the FUBAZ pants. Remember Sandman from ECW? Remember the sweatpants that he used to wear in, like, 93, 4, and 5? Vince used to wear those in the early 90s. And you find some photos of Vince, like, you'd be like, this fucking guy was jacked. But when he came out for that match, it was amazing, man. I mean, I listen, Vince has earned a lot of hate from a lot of you, and I get it. But at that time, it was surreal. Surreal. I did not watch the World Cup final. Honestly, I'm not into soccer unless Italy's in the final. And if Italy was in the final, I don't think Italy was in the final. Because believe me, I tell you, in my neighborhood, every wannabe gangster, every old-time gangster, everybody who was a former gangster, everybody in the neighborhood thinks that they are, everybody would have been slamming on their horns. Everything would have been Italia outside. When they were in the World Cup finals, it was like 15 years ago. Like, I remember buying, like, the on eBay, like, figures of every member of the soccer team, and I had them on my desk. I couldn't believe people come in like, yo, that's awesome. Where'd you get that? I didn't even know any of them. I thought the jerseys looked cool, though. All right. We're going to get out of here in about 2 minutes. Went a little bit longer, but that's all right. That's all right. If we have some fun combo, we could go a little longer. We're not going to turn into pumpkins. Maybe we'll stay a few extra minutes. Theme parks with Johnny with a 10 spot. DT, I'll always keep dreaming. But what is my opinion if Cody, Kenny, the Young Bucks, the Good Brothers, Jay White, and AJ Styles become a huge faction in WWE? Would I like to see it? No. Could it work? Probably not. The reason why I say no, who are they going to feud with? Are we just going to get random people to align themselves? We got to shoot down. Like, AJ Styles has been there too long for it to be an NWO storyline. Finn Balor has been there too long for it to be an NWO storyline. Like, Kenny Omega versus Cody Rhodes, would the masses be interested in that? Like, AEW fans would be fascinated. WWE fans who always want to see Kenny Omega in the company would be fascinated, but this is not something, you know, where, listen, it took a long time for AJ Styles to really find it and establish, listen, he got a nice pop when he came in for the Royal Rumble, but it took a while for AJ Styles to really be, you know, like you felt that he belonged. You know, Jay White, and I've said this before, with all due respect, 95% of the WWE Universe does not give a shit about Jay White. You know, like, that's why if he would have debuted the Royal Rumble, that would have been a disaster because almost nobody would have reacted to it. The Good Brothers would be fun, but the Good Brothers have been there already. So if you have a feud against, like, Kenny and the Young Bucks versus the Good Brothers and AJ Styles, all right, maybe, you know. But, yeah, I just, I just think, like, for a small, small audience out there, see, I think that's one of Tony Khan's biggest problems. I'll give you a good example, Aussie Open. And I've said this before, and I apologize for anybody who's heard this before. Aussie Open is one of the most talented tag teams of wrestling today. Majority of fans out there are not emotionally connected to Aussie Open. Just because Excalibur yells at the top of his lungs, and just because a few people on the social media world, you know, like, oh, this is epic, amazing, unbelievable, I'm shaking, oh my God, I can't believe it, they're here. Just because Tony Khan gets that special feeling doesn't mean that any of us have any emotional connection to Aussie Open. And they get title shots, they main event Rampage, they come in here, they do this, they get that, they get this. And I don't give a shit about them. But there's a lot of take. Look, the Grizzled Young Veterans, I hated them in NXT. And then towards the end, before they became the Schism, like something clicked. Imperium! Imperium! I used to say on my shows in the early days of NXT versus AEW, I'd be like, I don't know, man, I'm just not clicking. I'm not clicking with Imperium. I'm not talking about Walter. Just talking about, you know, the tag team. Then towards the end, they had one tag team match, and I was like, holy shit. And it clicked. And now Imperium is one of my favorite tag teams. At that time, Imperium couldn't draw flies. You're going to tell me that Aussie Open is better than Imperium? They might be equal in talent, but if Imperium couldn't draw, you know, we're supposed to automatically think that Aussie Open people give a shit about because, oh, you're talking about one of the greatest tag teams of our generation, Aussie Open. I don't care. I don't care. Give me a reason to care. Look at LA Knight. Look at LA Knight. Up until the last month, he would come out. Fans really wouldn't react at all. You notice the last 2 weeks, the pop he's getting? I think some people think that he was the MVP of the feud with Bray Wyatt. LA Knight is turning the fucking corner. You give it 6 months from now, people this weekend are saying LA Knight cuts a better promo than MJF. And yes, everybody jumped on that conversation because they're all trying to get views and likes and acknowledgement. I wouldn't go there yet. They're two totally different people. But the fact is, up until recently, a lot of people just didn't care about LA Knight. A small group did, but not a lot. I don't follow Cardi B at all. She could have a favorite wrestler list, and I'm sure, you know, we'll probably have Mercedes on there or something like that. Like, I maybe Bianca Belair is on that list, and that's cool and everything. But, you know, like, the fact that anybody's taking note of her favorite wrestler list shows that she's either a very new wrestling fan or she's just doing that for attention, clout. Because I don't recall Cardi B really mentioning too much in the past. Like, you'd see her name pop up here and there. Some people thought she was going to, didn't let people think she was going to host WrestleMania a couple of years ago. I just don't pay attention to her. Like, if you're a true wrestling fan, you know, we don't, like, talk about it, you know, more often. Like, don't just, like, throw something out there where everybody catches attention to it, you know. You know, and you want to know, so I'm not throwing her any shade. I understand why people love her. I'm cool with that. All I'm saying is that me not following her might make a little bit more sense of why I'm saying what I'm saying. Because when someone who is a performer, an actor, actress, musician, basketball player, if someone is a wrestling fan, I think they acknowledge it a little bit more often. Or will once in a while just throw a shout out or throw little praise. Something major happens in wrestling and you don't comment or like anything about it. It just makes someone come across as just a casual wrestling fan. And every so often will post something more for the response that it gets than the actual viewpoint of it. That's the perception that I get. All right. Verse says her husband was on WWE several times. That's not her though. That's not her though. Like, I don't care if it's somebody's mother, sister, aunt, uncle, jilted lover, neighbor, like brother, like her. Her. I'm just saying, like, anybody. We're talking about the person. I don't give a fuck what family member or what dependent, like, showed up. Like, the person themselves. And I didn't even say that Cardi B needs to be at wrestling events. I never said that at all. But, like, something major goes down in the world of pro wrestling that you claim that you love and enjoy, and you don't even, like, acknowledge or like, even whether WWE posted or AEW, whoever her favorites are. Like, I'll give you an example. I'm not saying, look, but I'll give you an example. Let's say Kofi Kingston's one of her favorites. And she's been a Kofi Kingston fan for a long time. Did she react online when Kofi won the championship at WrestleMania? I don't know. But I'm pointing out, like, when you post all your favorites and you claim to be favorites for a long time, but you don't even, like, show any type of emotion in some of the bigger moments, and then every so often you just post a random list out there. You know, it's almost like, okay, here's a good example. I don't eat Spanish food all that often. I eat Spanish food maybe 2 times a year. But there's certain Spanish food that I absolutely love. So if I put a list out there, oh, here's a list of Spanish food that I love. But I only eat Spanish food maybe 2 times a year. You know, it doesn't, what does that mean? You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I think we're talking a little bit too much about Cardi B. All right, well, I will share this. Her favorite wrestler list, this is kind of interesting. Lita, Triple H, Edge, Batista, Booker T, and I don't know what the last one is. Maybe it was Eddie. So what does that say? That she was a fan of the Attitude Era, like in the middle 2000s, and, you know, like, of that list, Lita's the only one that came back. And some people even think, like, Lita did not come back based on her performance on Monday. So what is she saying? Like, you're giving this list now? Why didn't you post that list 10 years ago, 15 years? Maybe she did. I don't know. All right. Stephen Barbie thinks a cool idea would be for Bronson Reed to destroy Brock Lesnar or Lashley a day after Mania, start a program with one of them. Bobby Lashley, maybe. Brock Lesnar, hell no. Brock Lesnar at this point gets Undertaker treatment. He gets to choose who he wants to work with. You know, he has, whether people like it or not, you know, listen, last Monday, I brought up to everyone, you know, whether people like it or not, Omos was Brock Lesnar's choice. Oh, what are you talking about, DT? That's stupid. Why would he choose Brock Lesnar? That's ridiculous. Some people are like, oh, that kind of makes sense. Easy 3-minute match. I go home early. Did you see all the news articles that came out during the week? It was revealed that Brock Lesnar chose Omos over Bray Wyatt. We knew that last Monday. I don't think Brock Lesnar gives a shit about Bronson Reed. I'm just being honest with you. And I do not want to see Bronson Reed leave Brock Lesnar lane. Bronson Reed got some momentum after Elimination Chamber. We have King of the Ring coming up in Saudi Arabia. Let's have Bronson Reed in the King of the Ring, have a good run, maybe almost like the Bam Bam Bigelow run from back in the day, and then you build from there. Laying out Bobby Lashley, laying out Brock Lesnar, I don't think fans in droves are going to care all that much. He's got a little ways to go. But you know what? 6 months from now could be a totally different story. I like Bronson Reed. I just think, take your time. No need to rush with him. If somebody points out, Cardi B is 30 years old. So she'd be 10. Well, you know what? Wait a minute. We're going 2005. That's 17 years ago. She would have been 13 years old. You could be a wrestling fan at 13. I mean, I was on, well, I wasn't on social media at 13. So internet was not created yet. That's how old I am. But, you know, 13-year-olds in the 90s with my favorites. They go on Prodigy chats. My favorites. Like, you know, you're making it seem like there was no computers when she was in her teens at the time. But what does that show? That shows that she was a, she might, or she's only became a wrestling fan and she's only like started watching from the mid 2000s. So, all right. So we're going to start bringing this home. It was Ruby turned heel. She aligns with Saraya and Toni Storm. All right. All right. I mean, you know, it's, it, what is it? Is it like a outsider thing? All right. I'm not complaining about it. It just leading up to it, it felt like, why does Ruby need to align? I mean, she wants the women's championship. So she aligns herself with everybody but the women's champion. I mean, you know, it doesn't it kind of make sense? I wonder if they're going to come out with women's tag team titles. I don't know about you. Starting to get the idea that maybe they're going to come out with women's tag team titles. I wonder if AEW comes out with women's tag team titles in 2023. And I know what some of you are going to say. Oh, DT, that's the worst thing they could do. They can't even put two women's matches on TV a week. I get it. But there's a lot of women who are not going to become TBS champion right now, as long as Jay Cargill has it. So that leaves one belt for everybody to fight over. The more I think about it, the more it makes sense. Women's tag team titles. You have belts for everything else. You have belts that really had no need to be created, like the All-Atlantic Championship. I bet you women's tag team titles, 2023. I'm going to put that prediction. Actually, the more I think about it, it makes sense. That would be a selling point that, okay, they're finally starting to boost. Oh, they didn't elevate the women up until now because they weren't ready for women's. I could see that a mile away. I'm going with that. I think women's tag team titles, definitely no women's trios titles. No, just because you have three women aligned. No. You do tag team titles. Let's not create too many belts at the same time. So if the Four Horsewomen in wrestling took on the Four Horsewomen in MMA, if it was a wrestling match, the Four Horsewomen in wrestling would win. Ronda Rousey, Shayna Baszler, very impressive. I think that's where it ends. Yeah, I honestly don't even want to see that. I mean, the trash talking on social media would be fun. I don't want to see that match. It's not innovative anymore. It's like it's come and gone. Maybe a couple of years ago, I would have been interested. I'm not interested in that anymore. All right. One more question and we're going to get out of here. So let's see who asks it. Jessamyn Duke I like, but it just feels that she hasn't developed enough. Marina Shafir, I kind of felt bad for her. But listen, I'm not saying that promo was good. You don't know me. It was not good. But I will say this. She really, truly put in the time to try to put it together. She didn't just like show up every once in a while. You know what I mean? Like she really bit the bug a little bit with wrestling and she really put in the time. Unfortunately, just because you put in the time doesn't mean it's going to develop into something good. You know, if that was the case, every baseball player who put in the time would be batting 300. It just doesn't work sometimes. If I were to make my own video game company, what game would I like to make? A baseball game with every retro baseball player or team I could possibly think of. Because there's been too many times over the years that I looked for computer baseball games, PS4s, 3s, whatever. And, yeah, you create your own baseball play. I always wanted to play, like, as my favorite teams from yesteryear. I think with the technology today, you could do that. Or a basketball game. And come up with teams from yesteryear and put it together. I think that's why NBA Jam was so great back in the day because you actually for once like been able like to team up with like some of your favorite players and you could team up with people from yesteryear or just, I'm not talking about the arcade release. I'm talking about once you went to computers and then people could try to manipulate the game and create some of your legends from yesteryear. All right. One more, because Nier is tuning in the wee hours of the morning, waiting for a flight to Berlin. Do I see Grayson Waller as a future IC or United States champion? Absolutely. Grayson Waller absolutely will be a champion. I tell you, I never thought that I would be all in with Grayson Waller. There was a very long time that I just would be interested in changing the channel. I had no interest in Grayson Waller. Slowly, he started growing. To me, he felt like Vanilla Ice meets John Cena with a bad accent. That's how I felt early on. When Vanilla Ice was selling homes, like not the Vanilla Ice from the 90s. I'm talking about Vanilla Ice when he was selling the homes, buying all those ragged homes. That Vanilla Ice and John Cena, if they had a love child with somebody from Australia, it would have been Grayson Waller. Slowly, 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 slowly started growing on me. Now he's a future superstar. Grayson Waller will be a future superstar. He will be a champion. So, all right, I'm out of here. I hope everyone had a fun episode. I hope everyone had a fun time. Yeah, I'm the one that recorded the episode, but great conversation, man. Went a little longer than usual, but I think we answered more topics and questions tonight than probably ever in any of the episodes we've ever done. And again, for everyone out there who is enjoying AEW Revolution live, I hope you really enjoyed it. I hope you had a great time. From what I'm reading in the chat, everybody seems to be giving it a thumbs up. And we didn't even get the Iron Man match yet as the ending of this show. But so far, the matches seem good. We had a couple of twists and turns and a title change that I don't think most of us ever expected to occur this soon with the House of Black, which I'm very, very happy about. But, leave any questions or comments. Last night I answered probably about 100 in the comment section. So I will definitely answer some more tonight. And then tomorrow after Raw, I'll be up here as well, 11:05 p.m. Eastern. We'll talk about Raw. We are going to see some storyline development. Kevin Owens will be on. Sami Zayn taking on Jimmy Uso. There's going to be a little twist there. And remember, that leads it to SmackDown Friday with Roman Reigns with the ultimatum with Jey Uso. Trish will be there. That'll set up the Mania match. Lita and Becky Lynch as your tag champs now. And a few other things are going to go down tomorrow. Want to see what they try to fix with Bray Wyatt and Bobby Lashley. So Friday was a little confusing with the Uncle Howdy stuff, but hope everybody has a good night. Hangman Page just won his match. Yeah, I think it was expected. Hangman Page needed that win 1,000 times more than Jon Moxley did. So again, it looks like tonight the right people are winning as far as, you know, this show goes with Revolution, but again, I will give you some brief thoughts about Revolution on Wednesday. Don't expect too many complaints from me from what I've seen so far, but I will definitely check it out. And all right, everyone, it's been real. If you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. If you know anyone out there that might like the shows, let them know about it. And if not, if you want to piss them off, let them know about it. So, all right, I'm out of here. I will see you all again soon. Be well. Oh, wait. I saw this. Theme Parks with Johnny was there for Hogan and Robin versus Karl Malone and DDP. He snuck this one in right before we were almost done. I liked Rodman, and I liked Karl Malone. Karl Malone, that motherfucker, man. That guy, if he never played basketball, I think he would have been a good professional wrestler if he made a career out of it. Physically impressive. I loved how it carried over to the NBA. I still remember those news articles. Didn't they accuse Dennis Rodman of not showing up at a Bulls practice for the playoffs because he went to Nitro instead? I honestly remember that. He got fined over it as well. I think we covered it on the history episode. That was good. As far as celebrities, look, obviously not everybody talks about Bad Bunny. Everybody talks about Logan Paul. But you look at the history of celebrities having legit matches, albeit maybe only one or two. Karl Malone, I think, definitely deserves a little bit more love than what's been given over the years. And I also think Rodman deserves a lot. Rodman was a hardcore wrestling fan. Got to give him credit. And as I go off the air, Chaos is asking me, Joe or Wardlow? I'm going with Wardlow. Samoa Joe, he's going to be committed to Ring of Honor. His name is all over the results for the recent tapings. He doesn't need two belts. I say give it to Wardlow. The only bad thing about that is Hobbs is going to face the winner on Wednesday, and if Wardlow wins, are they going to really pass it to Hobbs that quickly? No. So what does that say about Hobbs? I almost like if Samoa Joe retains, then I could see Hobbs winning the belt on Wednesday. Maybe Hobbs shows up tonight. Maybe he lays out Joe and lays out Wardlow. But I'm going to say Wardlow only because Joe doesn't need two belts. But I'll say this. I'll give you this prediction. I'll do a little twist. I think that after Wednesday, I think Samoa Joe will only have one championship. Whether he loses a championship tonight or he loses it Wednesday, that'll be the question. But I think after Wednesday, Samoa Joe will only have one championship. Chaos says Hobbs is there. So maybe Hobbs ends up getting involved in this match. So we'll see. Everyone be well.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.